Greetings, everyone. This is Koku from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, inviting you to tune in to the Bitter Medicine Podcast on KWAZ Radio.
Peace, family. This is Oni, inviting you to listen to the pro-black perspective, where black problems are addressed with black solutions.
Greetings, fam. Tune in to The Learning Curve with me, the revolutionary matron on KWAZ Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 24 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. I'm your host, D-Web, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host. First, we got the one and only back this week, El Miguel. What's going on with you, bro?
You already know the vibes, man. A lot to talk about, you know?
Oh, definitely. This definitely should be a good episode this time. And unfortunately, our director of media relations, Rye, is still on maternity leave. Shout out to Rye. She should be back in October. I talked to her about it. I talked to her ass every day. She always got some crazy shit to say. But shout out to Rye. Hope you get back soon. We look forward to bringing you back in October. And on this podcast, we plan to hit on various topics revolving around the latest news, business, family, life, hip hop, social commentary, and any recent headlines that affect our community. And we got to throw the disclaimer out there every time. By no means are we experts, just everyday people with a small platform here to add our two cents to the various subjects we plan on discussing. And also make sure y'all go follow the Harsh Reality Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Firstly, I got to do my due diligence and shout out the Melanated Conscious Society, MCS, headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida, is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills as well as not just self to our youth. Make sure y'all go follow them on Facebook, Instagram for all the latest news, meetings, and valuable information. Also, big shout out to the KWAZ Radio family. KWAZ providing the latest and greatest conscientious-oriented content. Make sure y'all follow them on all forms of social media, as well as subscribe to the Bitter Medicine Podcast, hosted by Koku, the Pro-Black Perspective, hosted by Oni, and the Learning Curve, hosted by the very knowledgeable queen, the revolutionary matrix. And lastly, the podcast is on Patreon. Make sure y'all donate. And of course, all proceeds go to upgrading the show, providing the best content we can. In these days nowadays, we definitely need the Patreons to get on it and support the show so we can keep bringing y'all these jewels we drop. You know what I'm saying? And if you're looking to drop a comment or looking to reach out to the show, maybe throw some guest suggestions, things like that, make sure y'all hit us up at the email, theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. Now, without further ado, let's get into these topics, shall we? So we got old Joe. Jim Crow Joe is gearing up. Is he gearing up for a martial law situation? And we need to break down our thoughts on what may happen in the near future as we see kind of things play out in terms of we just had that big announcement of the mandates recently. So let me throw that to L, bro. What you think is going on? You think martial law is coming? And also what you think is coming for the future of this nation right here?
I just went through. I don't really be on social media like that, but I've been called like a baby martial law, per se. Everybody said, no. But if you look at some of the policies he's put in place because he's been in office, one, the biggest flag for me was the ban on Russian ammo, right? If you've tried to buy any ammo recently, you probably noticed that 9mm at about $1 a round right now. Probably 40 and 45 caliber, probably more expensive. So what Joe did, put a ban on, most of Americans get ammo, we import ammo from Russia. And so he put a ban on Russian ammo. And so to me, that's not so much a slight to Russia. Well, it is a slight jab to Russia. Anytime America can hurt economically Russia and China's economy, that's going to be something that we do. But I think it was more a way to control and make buying and purchasing weapons and self-defense mechanisms for Americans. You know, moving forward, we kind of see where he's at, his stance on getting vaccinated, despite the science showing that, you know, people that who have recovered from COVID have pretty much stronger immunity to the Delta variant, which is the predominant variant right now. They say the Alpha variant is like relatively gone off the face of the earth right now. And then if you look at the, you know, still the death rate is primarily obese old people. So, you know, and now on top of that, that the jab still doesn't keep people from getting it. I think that's the most common sense thing. So he's already put in place this mandate for all government workers. And that's just not the people that work for government. That's the people that work for private companies that are, you know, whose clients are the government.
Yeah, it's right? Like 100 employees or more. You got to do you gotta get the jab, or it's like a fine or something like that. They ain't even doing the weekly testing no more. They threw that out the window.
Yeah, they don't even give you. So despite, you know, people probably having some kind of immunity, just as effective immunity, and showing that some of the jabs aren't even effective to the Delta variant, you know, in hindsight, to take the risk, right? They are effective, but I think the efficacy drops 40% a month in one study I read. And wow. If you're looking at the data in Israel, that a lot of the people that had breakthrough infections or initial infections were fully vaccinated. Not one shot, one jab, they had both jabs and still got sick. So, you know, what I think is going to happen is looking at, you know, the big L he took with the Afghanistan campaign, no matter what he would have done, it would have been an L. In reality, but he took a major L in that, right? And I think the one thing Americans hate are things that come off as unpatriotic, right? And so he's going to hold that L up until his next election. And I think this is his way of being, you know, he's like that kid that don't want to just hold no L in school. You know, that 120 dude that's just going to keep, you know, after he done got roasted, he's going to keep coming back and trying real hard. And I think, you know, this is the first step of saying, hey, I'm going to put in place a mandatory vaccination. But, you know, I always think about states like Florida and Texas. Like, you know, that's not going to stand in like those type of states. Right. And so I think like those states, what's the next thing to do? Make it so nobody can buy. He's already, to me, put in place measures to say, I'm gonna make it very hard for you to stockpile ammo and to stockpile guns, you know. And the next thing I'm gonna do is just put an end to the guns, right? Because the Dems have been really lobbying gun control for so long, and he's low key kind of doing it. So I think, you know, once you go to that route, and you piss people off enough, you already seen that people rioted and stormed the Capitol, you know, when you start talking about forcing people to do something that might kill them, right? Because,
right,
you know, you possibly could die from taking any of the jabs, right? You might see full off, you know, mutiny, you know, and with that comes, you're going to see, you know, because not everybody's going to be on board with that. I think some people are going to be fearful from the Capitol riots and other, you know, historic things that are always brought up in media and things of that nature, right? Like if you look at a lot of the good Black shows on TV, Lovecraft Country, Watchmen had a good series, right? But what were a lot of these things were taking place during the historically Black massacres, you know, when we were being massacred, you know, and they pushed this narrative on TV. And so you're going to have one side, you know, primarily the Black people going to be scared to take up any arms. And then you're going to have another side of, you know, white people that have all the arms is going to be ready to storm something again. Then you're going to have the other super liberals that are just don't want to have nothing to do with anything. And then I think is going to happen is you're going to have, you know, two-thirds of the side of the sides pretty much say we need help. And that's when the government will come in and shut shit down, you know, door to door if they need to. I think they'll start with guns. I think they'll start with rifles. And in some states like New Jersey, where it's harder to get a handgun and a rifle, and then they'll end ammo, right? And since we get most of our ammo from overseas, they could kind of probably do that right now. So I think that we're in, you know, 2022. I say everybody enjoy Thanksgiving. Everybody enjoy but you better have a box of ammo and something.
Hey, you better have more than 3 days of food in your
house. Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to get ugly. You know, the benefits done ran out. Night King is in effect. Winter is coming, you know. For some of us, we might not be feeling it right now, but there will be some people that will feel the heat, that will feel the economic shakedown. You know, these businesses, you know, they, you know, New York put a mandate for everybody to be vaccinated.
You know, and nobody's talking. You know, it's crazy. New Orleans, I want to say, did that. San Francisco, I believe, did that. New Orleans, ain't nobody in New Orleans right now. They jacked up. But yeah, they did it. You know what I mean? And like, the narrative switched to Afghanistan rather than the fact that you got Americans who can't buy a taco and sit down and eat it because they ain't got an experimental jab. You know what I'm saying? Like, that threw that all out the window. And you hit on some good points too, man. And one thing I will say is medicine. Medicine is not a one size fits all. It's not a fitted cap. You know what I mean? It's not what they call that, a trucker hat, right? You don't have the little tabs in the back. What may heal me may kill you, and vice versa. You know what I mean? So the fact that they're pushing one solution to this, you know, situation we in, it makes no sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, particularly if you have, it's not even a solution. You're right. It's supposed to stop you from dying. If you get it, you may have a less chance of dying, right? And that's not a solution. Also, what is a less chance of dying is if you're not fat and don't eat bullshit, and if you exercise. Exactly. That don't require experimental shot, right? With no long term data, it's not being a fat ass. And it's crazy. Like I said, they pushed it on Joe Rogan, and all Joe Rogan was doing, he didn't say like, oh, yo, I'm a medical professional, and this is what you need to do to avoid not dying from the Rona, right? He just was like, yo, this is what I did. It worked for me, right?
Yeah, this is what I took. And they killed the media. So I don't agree with everything Joe Rogan does or says. I do find his show very entertaining. But the media went off the deep end. They tried to do damage control because in 3 days, Joe Rogan was back potting. Tested negative. He tested negative after testing positive in 3 days. By medding up, taking vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D, and then, you know, the medicine that so-called, you know, allegedly won the Nobel Peace Prize for treating other viral infections that they say is horse dewormer. Like, you can't use medicine for other things, right? I could take naproxen for a headache, or I could take naproxen for a sprained ankle. You know, something like, you can use medicine to treat multiple different things. So, I just find it very alarming, you know, this groupthink and population control in media. Mm-hmm. Like, it's everything. It ain't just one. It isn't just CNN. It isn't just Fox. We're seeing a complete narrative change, right? And remember, the narrative change on what the jab does, right? When it first came out, it said you shouldn't get it. You know, it should protect you from getting it. Then it didn't stop anybody from not getting it. Then it said, well, it should subside the symptoms. Then it really didn't subside the symptoms, right? Now it's going to keep you from dying, right? And so now we might go into another 4 months and people going
to keep dying. Yeah, you're going to get it. You're going to, but you may not die. You know? And that's not, when you got the polio joint, they never said like, yo, you might still get polio, but you may not die. Right.
Yeah.
Like, anything you ever got. And it's crazy how that narrative switch is crazy that you brought that up, because it's like, dude, they had to literally, and this ain't me pulling nothing out of my butt, man, they literally had to change what the definition of a jab was in order to even define this as such. You know what I'm saying? They've done plenty of little things like that low key in terms of what the herd immunity is, right? They had to change what the herd joint is just to even classify it as that. So it's like, dude, why you and science, man, science, they're treating it like a religion, bro. Science is made to be debunked. If I did something that disproved like fucking, you know, Darwinism, I would win a Nobel Prize. But now they changed it. So if I did something to disprove what the main narrative was, I'm getting vilified. It's like, no. You know what I'm saying? They treat it like it's a Bible when in reality it's supposed to be like an ongoing thing, right? And I think of what a lot of people don't realize. Let's take, for instance, the Tuskegee experiment, right? That didn't end to 1972. My OG was born in 68. You feel? They just had recently had a case with forced sterilization of women in North Carolina that got settled in court about 10 years ago. And that went on to 1974, bro.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
1974, bro. Like, some of my old heads was born and they was forced sterilizing people. You know what I'm saying? So we can't just discount the fact that we think everything that these people is doing for our good. You can't even knock a person for being, particularly if you're a person, I hate using person of color, but particularly if you're a black person, you can't even knock a person for being. Since 1974, they was tying your tubes and not even telling you.
Yeah.
Yo, that's...
You don't even know about the syphilis experiments either, you know, you know, and that's the crazy thing when you have these conversations with white men and women. When you know, sometimes you might be in work or you might have these conversations of people that turn a blind eye willingly to it. And you're like, that wasn't that long ago. That wasn't like 20 years ago. Like, so these are the same people that are teaching you. And, you know, like, regardless of what happened, their mindset is still being instilled, being passed down through medical professions, even... I believe I was reading an article on what's the epidural shot, you know, and they was talking about, you know, they were saying that they believe black people were more resistant to pain. And so they tested on black women more than anything because they said our skin was like the Incredible Hulk. You know, they just went super racist. Like, oh, this is the closest thing to green. So they must be, you know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
So they tested a lot of, you know, how many people... agents put that big needle in their back and jacked up sign, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would like to say too, like that article, this professor, I think Todd Zawicki, he actually just sued and won. So his university, he was a professor at the university, looking it up, George Mason University. And they had if you wanted to be a professor and teach, you had to get the jab. And so what he said was, I already had COVID. I should have, you know, just as good of immunity as the jab. And he actually, in the court, you know, they used the science. He went and got tested, had his T cells and antibodies tested, and his was relatively high, as high as somebody that recently, within a month, got a got the jab. And I think he was like 2 or 3 months removed from COVID. Mm-hmm. So with him suing and winning that, it brings some hope, at least as far as case law. For what you know, Sleepy Joe is trying to do, I hope in the grand scheme, because you know they're throwing out the science. They use the science to push it, and now they're just completely ignoring it. Right? So many case studies, and in the United States, with a lot of these companies being companies from the United States, they're not really putting their studies out. Israel did the world a service by alerting and saying, "Hey, this joint's not working." And in fact, they're actually trying to shop like a million doses of Pfizer, like trying to get rid of the Pfizer vaccine. You talk about they don't they have too much of it. Like, no, it shouldn't be too much of it. You just know that joint ain't working, you know, exactly. And they're trying to shop a million doses. So it's completely crazy. I think it's sickening. I think there's going to be some people that don't understand the repercussions. And they're not looking long term. They're like, oh, I just want to go out to eat, you know, or I just want to go out to my favorite club. It's like, yo, 3 to 5 years, you might be stuck taking a jab until they figure out a way to reverse engineer your DNA. Mm-hmm. And from, you know, people that say it's not DNA or gene therapy. It is gene therapy from the person that created it. It's a form of gene therapy that, you know, is created to treat other rare diseases. I hate when people say that. They try to say it's not when the creator, the person who created it, says it is.
Bro, I had a chick argue with me about that. Yo, it was nuts to me because, like, the dude that created it was like, yeah, it might not be safe to just be mass jabbing people up like that, you know? Actually, he's pretty anti-jab anyway. But it, but then they brought up like, oh, but he got the jab. I'm like, yeah, a lot of people, you know how the Incredible Hulk became the Incredible Hulk? He tried his own medicine. So maybe he knows a little bit better than what, you know what I mean? That shows actually conviction. Like, all right, I'm going to try this for anybody else to make sure it's straight. Oh, nah, this ain't cool. So, and also I think a lot of people don't understand the concept of precedence and incrementalism, right? Once you set a precedent, right, once you set these wheels in motion that a job is allowed to tell you what you need to inject in your body or what you need to do to be able to, you know what I mean, outside of a uniform and all this other stuff, make telling you that you need to have your DNA altered almost, you know what I'm saying? And then and all that. Once you set that precedent, you can't go back. We still taking off our shoes in the airport. You know what I'm saying? Because once you break that seal, it's over with. You know what I mean? You're going to have to do that forever. And incrementalism, yo, like, it's inching towards something. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, it was 2 weeks to, you know, slow the curve, right? Then it was, you know, we got to muzzle up, right? And then that's now it's like, oh, okay, we got to stop these cases. Like, once you got the cases and cases became the measuring stick, that's when things went off the rail, bro. It was always supposed to be deaths. It was always supposed to be like, we don't need to overrun these hospitals, right? You know, and what I stumbled upon low key, which somebody put me on, which I wasn't even intending to find this information, right? But somebody was talking about how like Guam, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico surging right now, right? And I'm like, damn, that don't make no sense, right? So, you know, the natural investigator in me, like, let me look and see what they jabbed rate is. Yo, I think the Guam hit the record 80%, most in the United States. Puerto Rico was like 72%. I want to say Hawaii too is around that area too, around about 70%, more than what they say we need for the herd joint, right? You know what I mean? Yet they surge in cases. And then the dude was trying to blame tourism for the fact that
I did see that.
And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You can't even, bro. If you know, like I know, if you actually a getting on a plane type of Negro, like going places, actually, you ain't going nowhere outside the lower 48. If you ain't got the negative joint, or if you ain't got a damn car, you feel me?
Right.
So how the hell, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are actually case studies, and Guam is actually a great case study because it's a small population, it's an island nation. You know what I'm saying? And it's a controlled who can go there. It's actually controlled. Like you said, you got to show your card, or you got to, you know what I'm saying, be a negative joint to get to Guam. So the fact that they are surging in case, what that tell you? And but, people couldn't even figure that out. They was like,
well, if everybody got the jab, why are they surging?
Bro, is you stupid?
One of the doctors, man, one of his studies said, there's two doctors. There's one video and it's hard to find. I try to save them when they come up, but it's hard to find. He did a testimony. He said he feels like everybody that took the shot or is going to die or have long-term permanent effects in 3 to 5 years.
Yep, I saw it.
Yeah, you've seen that, right? And then another one showed that, I forget what they call it. It's a term. Shoot, I should have came more prepared. But pretty much, you know, this jab was designed for the alpha variant. And what they're saying is that, you know, you run the risk, and the data's not completely out there, but you run the risk of, by taking this jab in the virus mutating, that you make yourself more susceptible to worse symptoms by taking the jab. Because you pretty much, your body isn't going to know, because you're not, the jab is only based around the spike protein, not the other, you know, components of the virus. So you know, that would be interesting to see, you know, the correlation between that. Like, if it's so many people, because like, where are we at? Like close to 50% now. I think it's like 45% in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. I think close to the 60, I want to say, they got the this fully joint.
And the numbers just spiked back up to almost what they were last year.
Another point I made. Hey, yo, as more people get their jab, the cases are going up and it's still fucking 80, 90 degrees in some of these places.
Yeah.
Like I said, yo, when have you known a viral respiratory joint to surge when it's still hot outside? Like that's unheard of. Yeah. That is unheard of. And nobody is talking about that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, I'm finna go into hermit mode, yo. And it's funny because they trying to push it like, you know, if you ain't jabbed up, you the problem. It's like, bro, I'm avoiding you cats. Like for real, for real. So it's crazy how they flip the dichotomy and flip the whole narrative. When if you just look at, you don't even have to be a virologist, you don't have to be an epidemiologist. You just have basic common sense and then say, yo, if more people getting jabbed, we have the same numbers. Actually, it's a greater number after we didn't had the jab this year than last year, yo.
What's crazy too is like I always ask people. Had this conversation. Somebody went to come to my house, and they, you know, they said, "Oh, well, you're not vaccinated." And I said, "Well, what are you scared of?" They said, "Because you're not vaccinated." I said, "But you are." They said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that tells me you have no trust in the vaccine.
No faith."
You know, and then it was like a blank pause, like a dummy moment. Like, you know, I had to literally go look up the word vaccine in Google. Just went with the first definition. And I said, you know, so you injected yourself with something that you don't even believe in, but you want me to go get it. And then it was just like, yeah, well, everybody has to do their part. I'm like, nah, that ain't it.
I ain't it.
You know, I already done had it and beat it naturally. They gave me some Tylenol, told me to go home.
They gave me some ibuprofen and some damn coffee.
Yeah, they don't, you know, a lot of these doctors are coming out and saying, yo, the thing that's killing people is that these doctors in hospitals aren't giving people medicine to treat this stuff. You know, they're just saying you don't need a respirator, you know, respirator as soon as you find out you have COVID, unless you waited like a week, you know, to go get tested. You know, there's medicines and there's things out there that are proven effective by case studies. But what's happening is they're sending people home, and probably, you know, insurance might have a lot to do with this. I don't know. And then people are, they're sitting there till day 11, day 10, 11. And they say at day 5 to 7 is when you take the turn for the worst. And that was about, for me, when I started feeling like crap.
Yeah, it's about day 7. Yep.
Yeah, day 6, day 7, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I wasn't feeling too bad in the hit. And then about day 10, I was up. But, you know, you tell you. People sitting there dying on their deathbed, then they admit them in the hospital when they have to, and then they die. You know, and the psyche on the nurses are, they're just watching people die all day. And so they like, but it's even nurses just like, I don't want to get that job. And they working around people with COVID.
Yeah. And that's part of the whole Joe Rogan. It's like, bro, like even without him mentioning him, yo, it's people that's saying there's certain therapeutics. If you get on it early, bro, you can beat that joint. Like I said, 3 days, man. If you hop on the therapy, but if you have the therapeutics, do you really need the jab? You know what I'm saying? That's the dichotomy. And these people are making money hand over. Actually, if you look at the overall situation, the only really people suffering is the middle class. Those are the people who have mortgages to pay and have to go to Walmart and get their groceries, and they live in paycheck to paycheck, basically. But they're comfortable because they're middle class. They may have a little nest egg, but at the end of the day, those are the people that if you threaten their livelihood, those are the ones that have to go get the jab because they need that money, right? They got the mortgage to keep going on, things like that. So I say, I was on a podcast earlier. I said, the worst thing you can do is be middle class. Because if you poor, you free. Yeah, you don't care. You know, I mean, when I was broke, I ain't care. You know what I'm saying? We make it $20. We making it through a whole 2-3 days with $20. I hit the restaurant, this local joint 2-3 times. If my job talking crazy, I can quit. You know what I'm saying? I got a couple bras. I can work for a couple dollars. So I'm good. And if you rich, you good, right? You know what I mean? You got that FU money, so you good. But if you in this middle lane, right, where you got to constantly pay this mortgage, you constantly got to, you know, buy things for the kids, you constantly got to do this and that and the third, you essentially a slave, yo. It's like the worst place you could be is in the middle, bro. It's like it's like be broke or rich or bust. You know what I'm saying?
You just put some shit in perspective right there for bringing home. And it's, you know, I'm kind of in that situation with this new mandate. And, you know, those bring me back.
I'm going out of my shield, bro. I finna submit all whatever I gotta submit, but I'm going out of my shield, bro. I say, man, the day that you tell me what I gotta put in my body as a man's day, I cut off my balls and hand them to you. You feel me? I done ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and syrup sandwiches and had to heat myself with it. You know what I mean? The stove. So it is what it is, bro. You know what I mean? I'm a fight to the end. That's what I do. You feel me?
And you know me, bro. Like, I'm not one of those people that I just don't like being told what to do.
Nah, especially by no dweebs, right?
Like, yeah, like, I go to work every day. Like, what you say? Like, you get to that.
This point, entertainment like, for me, because I ain't beat nobody up in about a year and a half. What, 2 years? This is okay. We got to fight this fight. Okay, this is what I do. You feel me? So
I'm in IT, so I go to work. I got the pull up bar in my door. You know, I take that joint down, hit a 30 clip every such and such. You know, it's just a show. Like, I'll beat you up in here. I don't really care. You know, like,
you know what?
But you know,
what? Oh no, I was just about to say like that. That kind of was gonna bring me into the next topic. I was gonna skip over the joint, but the whole world we living in right now, where you have like things like bullying is called this terrible thing, right? And what you have now is a bunch of like pink-haired, blue-haired weirdos kind of controlling the space, controlling the message, controlling everything, almost to the point where it's destroying. They dictating societal norms now, you know. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, the U.S. and also the world is in the predicament it's in right now, is because there is no, like, you know, alpha shit going on. It's like the dichotomy's been destroyed. And I think part of it is this whole, you know, stop the bullying type of campaigns. You know what I'm saying? Not saying bullying is a great thing. I think that's a bad word, but it's like it need to be consequences to your actions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's not a knock to Little Nas X, but the stuff that he kind of says to people directly and indirectly on social media, you're good to have an opinion, but you got to watch what you say. Like, some of the stuff like he say couldn't exist how in my era when I grew up. Like, yeah, you could be fruity if you want to be, that's fine. But the minute you start questioning my masculinity in the way that I think, now you might have avenues that wouldn't be normally protected, you know? And I feel like, you know, I remember like coming up, I was always one of those people, if I had an issue with somebody, I brought it to their front door. Wasn't one of those people who go back and talk behind people back. But I say women kind of protected that a lot, and not just Black women. Like, I say all women. Women kind of, because I feel like what happened is, and I was talking to my wife about this, but I said men by nature, we're violent. I don't care. Women, you know, I talked to my mom about this too. And she said, I don't think so. And I said, why don't you think that? And she said, well, I think not all men are like that. I said, well, I think naturally men are violent. And I said, I just gave some examples. I said, is football a violent sport? She said, yeah. I said, is hockey a violent sport? She said, yeah. I said, what about boxing? What about MMA? She said, yeah. And I said, these are all entertainment. I said, what about people that are starving on the street? What about people that need to do something? Do you not think that they use a certain level of violence to get what they want?
Word.
You know, what is war? You know, we've been in a, you know, what just happened. We ended a 20, 30 year war. You know, men are violent by nature. And what happened was is that they made violence a degenerative, right? If you say as a man, if you show that you're violent, they pretty much neuter you. Hmm. They want people who they want to show prowess by thinking, and not even so much having a constructive thought, but just having an opinion. You don't need to have a constructive thought to be masculine. You just have to have an opinion, and your opinion has to be accepted by everybody, right? If you look at any masculine constructed thought that has been expressed publicly, is always met with backlash. You see it with Boosie, you see it with the Baby, we've seen it with a lot of artists that express pro-masculinity, they're put off. And, you know, I think a lot of the, tying in and bullying, you know, bullying is, you know, you see it in the animal kingdom. If I'm a lion and I got my eye and another lion comes up and beats my ass and tells me to get the hell out of here or you kill me, that's bullying. But that's part of nature. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't take that away from lions.
Yeah, it's like Darwinism, bro. It's like what the system is designed for. It's like it's funny because they compare us, you know, they want to link everything to climate change and how we need to be one with nature. Nature is a violent place, yo.
Yeah, nature's crazy.
Things eat things, fighting over food. You can have hierarchies where you have alphas and betas and Charlies and like nature itself is just straight hectic, you know what I mean? So violent. Violent. And we've gotten away from that to the point where not saying you don't have violence in the world, but it's like these people that have these weird ideas that will actually be detrimental to society. You know what I'm saying? Like, these ideas aren't just things that are, you know what I mean, that are neutral and things that's all right, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you want to put sugar in your grits, you know what I mean? These are things that will kill society, yo. These are ideas that will, you know, make your kids be doing weirdo shit, you know what I mean? So it's not like these things are just, you know, just bottom barrel, just, you know, remedial stuff. These are things that are bad. So it's like, when I challenge that, when I say, yo, like, maybe yo old lady shouldn't be twerking at the gas station in the thong to get views on YouTube. You know what I mean? Maybe that's not a great idea. You know what I'm saying? Maybe your 13-year-old shouldn't be on TikTok, you know, talking about sexual stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that are bad. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, when you challenge that as a man, as a masculine, as the natural protector of the earth, and it's like, nah, you being a misogynist, nah, you being this, nah, it's like, yeah, you kid me? And so, but the messed up part is, a lot of dudes have accepted that to the point where they scared to say anything. You know what I'm saying? They let it ride.
And they shit. Well, as a collective, men. And a lot of it too is, you know, social media presence, right? Because say if I'm strongly about something, the point I make a mistake, I post it on my Facebook, and I have a female boss, and the female boss might not be my friend, but she might have mutual friends, and somebody shares my post. I can be fired, not for that, but, you know, you come to work 3 times late in a month, you're fired, you know, because she doesn't share your views. And so there's always this reprisal to men speaking on the behalf and the betterment of men. I think it's kind of crazy too. If you look at like the current stats, you know, some of the manosphere red pill community, I watch some of the content. I don't agree with everything, but one of the studies I was reading is the uber selectivity of females, right? They say that 80% of 80% of women sleep with 20% of men, right? And so what that shows me is that the men that are desirable aren't the norm, right? And when you listen to some of these women talking, you know, they have all these sound clips of women they try to make them sound ignorant, and they don't know how to articulate themselves well. But if you peel back some of the layers, what they say, like, I want a bad boy. I want somebody that, and they don't even know how to describe it, but they want to feel protected. These are all masculine traits. You know, these are things that are uber masculine. And what, you know, a lot of these platforms, they say is, well, you need to have money. You need to get this degree to get your money. Then with that money, you need to go buy a house. And then you need to go buy that car so women can know you can have money. You know, and what we do is we take away from the natural order of things. There's a reason why LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world. It's because he's 6'9", 240 pounds, and running 4'4". He's like in the top, you know, physically, you know, there. I should not walk into a room with LeBron James and feel like I'm on his level. But I think we, even my son, right? I had this conversation with my son yesterday, and he was in a car and he was hurt because he said, Dad, you know, it's a boy, we play basketball. And he plays like me. I said, really? How you been balling? Like, how many points you dropped last time you played? He said, I didn't drop any points, but, you know, I play really good defense, got a bunch of steals. I said, yeah, but the name of the game, you got to put the ball in the bucket, you know? And he said, yeah, but the other dude, he sucks on defense, but he scores all the points. I said, well, how does he play like you? You sound like you need to get on his level, you know? And I was trying to set an expectation for him to work harder. And he started telling me about all of these things of why he was better than this kid. And it was triggering me because I'm like, no, bro, that's not how it is. And right. And I'd be listening to Pop Smoke. And, you know, Pop Smoke got a line. He said, you know, I'm the king of New York. Mello, you know, that's my son. Hey, walking around talking about he the king of New York. I'm the king of Jersey. I said, bro, that you gotta earn that. You can't be walking around saying that, bro. Like, you gotta, it's time to put in some work, you know, and you know, my wife's natural reaction was like, let him just feel that. Let him say that. And it's like, nah, I'm not going to let him say that because it ain't true. You know what I mean? So I had to say, hey, you know, what about your friend? If you can beat her in a race, I'll give you $50. If she beat you, I'm taking $10 from your account and I'm going to give it to her. Mm. I said, that's the deal. If you feel that confident and he ain't want to do it. He woke up this morning talking about his leg hurt. And that's kind of the society that we you know, and it's partly my fault because he shouldn't be moving like this, you know, but everybody gets a celebratory trophy, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like everybody is, oh, we're all right. We're all this and that. And it's like, nah, man, you, how do we separate ourselves from men? I think the easiest way is violence. And not to say be pro like crazy, just go out there slapping people, but you gotta understand, like there's certain things that you can't say or do to a man and not expect repercussions. But I think we moved into this societal norm that anybody can say anything to anybody and nothing will happen to
them. Well, especially with the internet, especially with the internet thing, because you could be 1,000 miles from somebody and they know they good, right? And that's what I tell people. I say, keep a vacation fund, bro. You gotta hop on a plane. In case you gotta hop on a plane. Hey, yo, I'm finna drink Mai Tais over here, and then I'm finna whoop this mug, and then I'm finna carry on with my vacation. It's because people are so confident just saying things they know they don't mean. I had a back and forth with a cat earlier, and he was like, yo, we need to get to a point where we need to have the National Guard come in and drag these people out of their home and jab them up. I'm like, dude, let me ask you this. Would you do that? Are you volunteering to be on that squad that goes to this town in Montana and drag people out their house and try to jab them up? Because if not, you need to shut up. You feel me? Yeah, you're not finna do that. You want the state goons who are going to be people who volunteer to go to military and stuff like that and trying to protect their country or whatever. And you basically volunteer. It's like almost going door to door to take people's guns away. It's like, good luck with that. Who's going to volunteer for that job for $55,000 a year? You know what I mean? Like, oh, you finna go to...
What's crazy about that too, though, bro, is that those kind of comments couldn't even exist in the early 90s and 2000s, right? You know, like, it's the people that tried to gaslight stuff and co-sign, be the first person to get hit. You know, everybody had that one friend who brought them to the hood. Right. And he not from the hood, but he just outside and everybody outside on this day and everybody cracking jokes and he's just laughing. He not saying nothing. He might smirk. And then you get the one dude that's like, yo, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, whose man is this?
You know, don't, this isn't even a person that's, don't let the person say something like, yeah, that's fucked up. Like, who the fuck is this? You know, and so, you know, we got from that, like, to me, that show, you got to be A1 where you at. If you going to say something, you better stand by what you.
Exactly. These people just say stuff, man. Like, it's crazy. You have the protection of the internet, yo. It's nuts in a way. You know what I'm saying? You think because you a million map, but
data and you know, the amount of data that can kill you in a case that could be generated from the internet is crazy, bro. You can get charged with crimes without even leaving your house.
Wow, yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. You know, you heard, like, speaking of that, like they charging people with the COVID cards. You know, they giving people buyers and sellers. You know, it's people that haven't even used them that's getting hit. You know, they charge them big time for that.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's why I ain't even involved. That's why I said you better all fighting the fight rather than trying to do the fake joint. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna get hit with a fed joint. I'm saying, man, that's crazy, bro.
Yeah, you better off just getting somebody to screenshot their COVID results and be like, yeah, I had COVID already. You know, and just be like, I got natural immunity, you know, and fight that way, you know. Yeah, bro, I agree. I think this whole this, you know, and it's crazy because, like, Kevin Samuels on one of his shows, he had made a good point. Right, he asked the women. The women complained about the men that was in our society, and he said, "But y'all raised the men that's in your society right now, you know." And it's like, they, we're, you know,
wishing yourself a happy Father's Day. These your seeds, yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you raise, you know, the men that are now super soft, super sensitive. It's not even what the women want. You know, but I feel like the women had a very strong influence over the way men operate today, right? It's a lot that men can't do and can't say. And there's a lot that, you know, we gave the beta males, and I hate the term beta male. I hate that term. I just want to say we gave the non-confident male and the males that really can't provide and protect. And when I say providing tech, I'm not meaning 9 to 5. I mean when shit hit the fan, you know? And when shit hit the fan, can your man run a mile and do 10 pull-ups? You know, like, word. Like can he apply himself to physical defense, to physical discipline?
And you know what, bro? To hit on also, to piggyback, I hate the word piggyback, but to go on that, like, you know, we both of us pretty active, you know, in terms of physical in the gym and stuff like that. And you get to see what a lot of dudes is doing in the gym. And not that it's an end all be all if you could lift heavy weights, you could do all this, that means you could fight, or that means you more of a protector and things like that. Cause there's plenty of jack dudes who get whooped up. But to see the like, I'm like, bruh. I had to save this dude. This dude had to be 6'4", had to be about 225. He had a 185 on the bench, bro. Came down on his chest, bro. Couldn't get it back up. Yo. And this, I got to run over there and pull the bar off you in the middle of the gym.
He might have been on his fifth set. He might have been on
I watched him, bro. It was like his second set, bro. It was the first, because I knew, I felt what was coming on, because I seen the first set, and I seen the shaky arms by the eighth rep on the first set. And then when he went to that second set, I said, oh, goddamn, I'm about to say this mother. Because you know how to do, you know, if your arms shake, that means you need to take it down, take the weight down, or you need to take down the reps. And he didn't take the weight down, nor did he try to take down the reps. I said, oh, man, I'm about to say this dude's life, bro.
To his defense, though, I will say some, you know, the big guys in the gym, like, I feel like I was a lot stronger when I was 160 and faster. Like, I feel like I was more dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Even though I was lighter. Like,
speed kills, bro.
But I was definitely more dangerous at a lighter weight. About 170, 180, I felt like I could hurt somebody. I feel like I could hurt somebody now. Bro, but
if you like 6'3", 6'4", 2-something, bro, 185 should be your warm. Yeah, bro, that's like a warm-up for me, bro. And I'm at, you know what I mean? It's like not like I'm like super dedicated to weightlifting. I'm not a power lifter in no stretch of the imagination. But bro, I'm not finna die off 185 though.
You know what I'm saying? You know, saying that, like I say that there is a with this anti-bullying culture, I think there's also a side of young men and women that are showing great discipline. There's some crazy athletes right now. We're not, you know, and even guys in mixed martial arts and boxing. But I think what you also see, I remember dudes that was boxing in my hood, bro, they was walking around beating people up. You ain't supposed to be fighting, but they was, you know, it was on, you know, they wasn't playing no games. Like, yeah, you said something, it was like they beat you up. But I see a lot of discipline in a lot of these kids nowadays. And I think because there is backlash, you know, there will be prejudice against them for not being beta, you know what I'm saying? And so I, when I see some of these kids out here, they just move a lot more mature than I would have. And what my peers did when we were younger, I think it's a silent confidence now, you know, it's not many of them, but, it's what they call them, hipsters. Like that's kind of what took over, the hipsters and the weird kids that became rich, you know, like, and it's not saying that they can't have a voice, but what happens is when their voice becomes the end all be all, like I can say what they, you know, they can say what they want, but the minute little baby says his opinion or something,
now you got to go on an apology tour. You feel me?
You got to go on an apology tour, you know, and it's like, well, if a gay dude come up to me and pushes up on me in a club and I don't appreciate that, it won't be looked at as sexual harassment. But if I was to approach a woman and she didn't appreciate it, she can say it's sexual harassment, you know? And that's where I think where the baby and Boozy and a lot of, you know, as men, when we see this double standard, when we speak out on it, we speak out on it from a place of frustration and truth. But unfortunately, I think because of, you know, I think really what comes down to it, the other side of the coin says, well, you're a man. You innately have this physical ability. The least you can do is just shut up. That's what I feel like they say. Like, you're stronger than everybody, so just shut up. We're not. Yeah. We're this. And like, for example, Lil Nas X. Lil Nas X is a man, but they look at him like a woman.
I don't even know he would call himself a man. You know what I'm saying? Has he ever said that? You know what I mean?
No, he could say what he want in media and do what he want without any repercussion. There's no repercussions to what he do and say in media. The only people that get that right, I can't even say what race demographic, and women and LGBT. There's only people that can get away with not being accountable for what they say and what they do. And not all women. But a lot of times women can say and do whatever they want to do. And the minute, like you said, you judge it, it's, you know, oh, this is me, or this is, you know, for example, abortion, right? And I think that's one of our topics, right? Even though it takes a man and a woman to have a kid, primarily, you know, it's my body, my right, my choice. Well, why don't the man get a choice? You know, like some choice, at least the men that want to be there, right? Like, why can only women be show selectivity with mating?
Yeah.
When men do it, it's, you're disgusting, you're misogynistic, you're toxic. You know, but women do it all the time. You know, I think that kind of can lead right into the abortion topic. We got abortion topic.
Yeah, we got the abortion topic, and like you said, that leads into that. And I think the point they try to make is that the man doesn't have to carry the child. They don't have to, you know, do all the stuff that involves that. You know, the cravings and the pains and the birth process and things like that. However, there is a community of dudes who have experienced trauma because their kids was, you know, aborted and they didn't want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't kill the mental part of that, although you don't have to go through the physical pain of pregnancy. There still is more to it than that. And I've even had women, you know, talk to the subject about them, talk about how they dealt with, you know, depression, mental issues and things like that after they've had the abortion. Right. And while you may pay for the procedure, you don't pay for the mental anguish afterwards. Right. The mental health care and things you may need after that. So it's not just a one size fits all thing. You know what I'm saying? But what they don't talk about too is also, is it really in just a woman's right issue? Right. I'm not positive this is just a woman's right issue. I think it's more so if you decided that where life begins type issue, where does life begin? That's why I say there's no really compromise in that issue. So I don't know how you feel about that, John.
I mean, I think let's go back a little bit. I think with Alabama was one of the first ones to put in like a abortion restriction. And I actually went and read through the bill. And I think, you know, the narrative is that no woman could ever get an abortion. And that wasn't true. They still had exceptions for like emergency, like rapes or like, you know, child molestation, things of that nature. It was pretty explicit. Like you just couldn't get pregnant, not like the person you had sex with, go into a clinic and say, I don't want this baby. That, you know, and in hindsight, you know, I think women have to look at it like there's a whole TV show about this. And what's it? The Handmaiden Tale. My wife watches it. I haven't watched it too much. I watch it when she watches it. Right. But this whole show is based around women being pro-choice to the point that they threw off the birth rate, that the death rate so greatly outweighed the birth rate that shadow government overthrew the government, made their own government start kidnapping women, wives, mothers, didn't even matter, and for procreation. And not saying that that's right, but when you look at the demographic of people that affects, it's white men, primarily white men. White men are already dying faster than they're being born. And I think Latino men, the Latino community and the Black community are having kids at a higher rate significantly than we're dying. And that's despite prison. You know what I mean? We're a third of our men being economically not viable due to the prison, to prison. And so with that being said, you know, a lot of those things are, it's not everybody's fight. You know, I think women, especially Black women, you'll see Black women talking on things. Oh, my body, my choice. It's like, yes. But when it comes to kids, like, well, say you had a one night stand with the dude that lives on his mom's couch because you heard he laying it down and you get pregnant. Why? And then you say, all right, I want to go get that abortion, right? I think this is a man's fear. You go get that abortion. He's fine with it. Then say you hook up with a guy, not your first choice, desirable, but he has money and he accidentally gets you pregnant. And you say, no way, I'm getting rid of that baby. That's weaponizing children. And unfortunately, this media has made that a thing. We've seen it with PJ Washington of the Charlotte Hornets, right? Currently, he wiped up an Instagram woman who made a whole book about how she got smutted out by stars. She got pregnant. He left them, you know? And so I'm sure if he had the opportunity, maybe not. Maybe he was rich enough to say, I don't care what you want. I still want my kid. But what if he said, I don't want you to have that kid? Then it becomes an issue. Well, it's not your kid. It's my kid. It's in my body. And so that's where I think, I know Texas is recently, they said you can't get an abortion past 6 weeks. And I think the woman's natural reaction is, well, most women don't even know they're pregnant until like week 5, week 7, you know? But it's like, that just kind of shows you how irresponsible both men and women are with casual sex. So I'm very pro male in the abortion side because I feel like men take 80% of the risk when it comes to childbirth, as far as outside the physical risk of women, of course, giving birth. But as far as the economic risk, it's primarily transferred to men. And I don't think that it's fair for women to be the only ones to have some kind of form of selectivity with mating.
Big, I think one of the things that does not talk about is personal responsibility. Where's the personal responsibility and all that? And they did the 6-week thing because that's when a heartbeat is found, right? Basically, heartbeat signifies life. And I wouldn't be hypocritical with that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, I probably participate in things I shouldn't have participated in, and nobody's perfect and whatnot. But at the same time, as you grow, as you learn, as you realize what you're doing, you know what I mean? Like, where does the personal responsibility come in? It's 12 types. One thing I pointed out was it's 12 types of birth control. 12, bro. Not to mention you have the morning after pill, which is good. What's the plan B? 72 hours afterwards? You got 3 days afterwards to take that pill. And you ain't got to worry about an abortion. You know what I'm saying? So where does the personal responsibility go in when we're talking about all that? And I agree that, you know, judges and even the child support nature and things like that is way more biased towards the women. You know what I mean? Rather than the men. You basically got to prove a woman smoking crack because of your kids. It can't just be like your house is better than their house. Nah, you got to prove she's detrimental to these children in most states in order to get your kids. So you definitely right on that. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like, where do we draw the line at? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you have this law, the 6-week law. You may not be feeling it. It may be something that you feel is, you know, a fascist to your body and whatnot. But how about be a personal responsibility and not letting this dude skeet in you, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be some level where we got to take responsibility as people and say, like, we're not going to let this go down so that we don't need to go to the abortion clinic and whatnot. And it's, and like you said earlier, it's so many little caveats in that law. You know what I'm saying? You're basically, your doctor can just say it's detrimental to your health to have this baby and you can get, you know what I mean? Get your abortion. So it's not like it's not workarounds to it. It's not one all be all. So yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate time that we actually have to big up abortion in the way that we're doing, right? You know, I think there should be definitely some kind of procedures in place for emergencies, for outlier situations. And you know, when I say outlier, and I don't mean to like take away from like child molestations and rapes, but you know, women aren't out here getting raped by the millions every day. You know, that's not what's happening. I will say that. I'll go on firmly and say that. But, you know, and they do protect those cases. But to, you know, I work right next to an abortion clinic and I'm seeing teenagers go there all day, every day, to the point there's old women, probably around anywhere from like mid to late 40s to like 70, picking it. And they're not. They're not doing anything but begging these kids to not do it. And I think one of the effects is some of these women don't, you know, I don't think so. Not everybody can have kids after an abortion. And yeah, then also, too, you know, the more abortions a woman has, like, man, men talk, boys talk. You know, that dude going to tell his best friend, that best friend going to tell his homie and probably one of his friend's ops, you know, and now, 5 years later, when you normalize it, it becomes, and it's super accessible too. That's what probably should be talked about, how accessible abortion clinics are in a lot of states. You can go and get an abortion a lot easier than you can go buy a gun. You know what I mean? And it's still terminating life no matter what, right? But you know, economically, now, you know, How many people are going to make $4 or $5 million in their life? Probably not. Like, we need each other. You know, I believe men and women need to be to build together. You know, unless you just building, you know, you're super successful. Primarily, not too many of us are going to make enough money to be able to live comfortably till our deathbed, you know, without support from somebody. And generally, if I know a woman got 4, 5, 6 abortions, I'm not going in that direction.
Nah.
I'm going in that direction, you know, and unfortunately, I think too many young girls normalize getting an abortion out of fear, right? Out of fear of probably parent backlash, out of fear of not being able to go party. You know, a lot of it isn't, you know, when I, you know, seen cases growing up, a lot of it wasn't fear from them not knowing what their life would be like as far as economically. It was like, oh, my life's going to be different. I won't be able to party no more. I won't be able to drink no more. I won't be able to smoke for a year,
you know?
And you know, so it becomes the narrative of what men we know. It's not always, oh, I don't know if I have time for my life. Like, a lot of it is very superficial reasons to get abortions. Or I don't want nobody to know that this dude knocked me up. Or I don't really like him like that. You know, and then what if the man want the kid? You know, nobody, that side of the coin gets left out of the equation. Like, well, what if that man wants to keep his kid? Why does when that kid comes out, you know, is being incubated, that it's no longer the man's kid, you know?
Yeah,
but if it was a rich person, then, oh, that's your baby. You know, that selectivity has to kind of change, you know, because what's going to happen is it's going to throw off the natural order of things as far as what type of men women get access to, because the men that have something to lose aren't going to mess with it. It's going to be so business minded, you know, true love won't be able to exist. I'm not saying marriage and kids is about love. It's probably one of the fewest things that it's about. But, you know, there has to be some kind of, like you said, self-accountability in a narrative that, like, all men are trying to stop women from, like, we're trying to control their bodies. Then what man is controlling what woman's body?
Yeah,
in all complete honesty, men benefit from women, not from women controlling their own bodies. Because women are, you know, as far as like, if you look at this dot culture, women doing whatever they want to do.
Yeah, the whole pimp thing is built off women men not controlling their body. Like, what man will want a woman he's with to be sleeping with a bunch of dudes? You know what I'm saying? Like the whole culture is not. Like, women have much more control over the culture than they act like they do. And it's crazy. It's like, dude, I done seen situations where a dude cannot touch you. And you call the police and say, yo, he hit me, blah, blah, blah. And so a scratch from 3 weeks ago, that dude going to jail is guilty to prove innocent. And Nick, just because the police are so scared to the point where it's like, okay, if I don't arrest this dude and later on it comes out he ends up killing this woman or something like that, or something drastic happens, I'm gonna be responsible for that. So whatever happens, if she say something, you going to the joint, period, point blank. I'm not trying to hear nothing. So it's not like women have been, you know, these days and age, subject to such drastic measures of such drastic oppression that they have no rights. In actuality, women have much more rights at the end of the day than the average dude, which because of we are perceived as this bigger, stronger, more powerful entity, is like, okay, you got to go down. You know what I mean? Like, God forbid you have a little woman that's 4'10", your lady 4'10", 110 pounds, and can throw a solid jab in the right cross. You know what I'm saying? You can get straight socked up, but if the police come and you 6'1", 250, she's 5'4", 120, it's like, all right, if she present a scratch and you know, it's mutual combat, maybe we'll take both of y'all to jail. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of women try to downplay the power that they actually have in the situation. And particularly when it comes to custody cases are rough, man. And so as a man, even when the topic of abortion comes up, your role, basically your perceived position is supposed to be like, so what you want to do about it? I think even Chris Rock had a skit about it. It's like, as a man, your job is just say, so what you going to do? You can't even suggest abortion, nor can you suggest keeping it. Because either way, you're going to be in the wrong. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I think you hit it right on the nail, though, bro. Accountability. And it's selective feminism, and not feminism from the perspective of being victimized. But what we see is when women have this kind of power, this leverage, that they don't really, they tend to think about the feeling and not the overall impact, right? But when they're being, when they have the power for their use, you know, it's, you know, I'm Xena Warrior Princess, hear me roar, you know, chopping heads off. I'm getting it rocking. And then it's not, you know, abortion, because a woman, if you took all the women in the world and you say, go ahead and make an abortion policy, you can't make that abortion can't happen without men. Because a woman can't get pregnant without a man. So it's not just a woman's issue, right? It can't happen. And if, I feel as a man, if we can't have a sit down at the table and force them. Now, I'm not saying all of these policies, no, even the verbiage of them is pro-woman. But what I'm saying is that men have to have a seat at this table. Texas and Alabama might not be the but you see the outcry from media, from women, you know, on social media platforms, and it's like, you know, it's like I know someone, you know, it's like you it's like an option, like we take it, feel like they taking away food out their mouth by restricting accessibility to abortions. And it's not that, you know, it's not that they're mad about the abortion. It just, it's almost like you're taking away an option away from them. And I think, you know, a lot of times I feel like a lot of these young women feel like they have endless options. Men, we don't, young men, we know we get one shot. We get one shot at life. All it takes is one mistake to ruin forever. And I feel like women, young women don't share that same responsibility or accountability. Not all. I'm not saying all of them, but I feel like a lot of times women think they can continue to make mistakes. And, you know, you see it in the dating market. Women will date 8 jacked up dudes and go on social media and be like, oh, I keep running into the same guy. It's like, well, it's probably you.
Yeah, you have.
It's probably you.
At some point, you got to look internally, yo, is what is attracting you to these not nothing dudes? You know what I'm saying? I agree with that wholeheartedly. Wow. But let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Did you see that Amber Ruffin skit? The Amber Ruffin skit on that show she got, I think Hulu or something like that?
Nah, I'm about to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. It's like the Bell B of the Vol poison skit, right? And she's like, they doing the poison, but it's about the jab. You know, it's about Black folks getting the jab, and you know, they talk about conspiracy theorists and things like that. And it almost kind of reminds me earlier when you were talking about the vax that thing up, right? And it's like, dude, it comes a point, it's like, are we a joke when it comes to politics and cognitive thinking? Do they think they can just make a song, right? A song and have somebody dance, and that's just gonna sway us. You know, if anything, I think that should be the opposite, right? If you see a song in a dance, 9 times out of 10, it's some bull. You know what I'm saying? But Amber Ruffin did that. And it's funny because she just did the joint where they was talking about the flooded towns, which some of the stuff I know about a couple of them, but it made me look deep into like flooding these towns and whatnot. So I looked into that. But then you come with this joint where you're promoting the jab. And it's like, dude, bro, how big is that bag they cutting you?
I'm watching it now. I'm watching it now. And
yeah, I couldn't make it past. I didn't finish the whole thing, to be honest with you. It's quite ridiculous. And it needs to be some kind of accountability. Yo, it's the fact that, you know, we don't control our own media. And so these people are comfortable taking this bag to do these minstrel shows, man. It's just terrible look for all of us, man, at the end of the day. And it's like, dude, how big was that bag to do that joint? You know what I'm saying? Like,
got them doing do a little jig, little black kids.
Oh, like, this is what it looked like. And they talking crazy about the conspiracy theorists. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, how do we counteract this narrative, man? And it's funny too, when you done looking up that skit, look who she married to, bro. look up that history. And it's like, bro, we got to get past this. And I was talking earlier when I was talking to the people on the other pod I was on earlier. And it's like all skin folk ain't kin folk, man. And they think they can send anybody out there sing and dance for the bag and that it's just going to sway your opportunity. When in reality, I would keep it a buck with you. If you see anybody singing and dancing about something, that's something you need to avoid. If you see some black folks singing and dancing about any kind of medical procedure ever in your life, you need to think about it real hard, yo. Real hard. I'm sure they had some dudes out there in blackface tap dancing about the Tuskegee experiment. You know what I'm saying? You need to think about it. Finish that joint yet?
Her husband grew up in Harlem, Holland, in Amsterdam. Yeah,
bro. Yeah, she divested, bro.
I mean, love who you love, but
yeah, you love who you love, but when you out there, you know, doing the Bell Biv DeVoe skits, pushing the jab on certain people, and you ain't even
gonna have a black husband like that.
Nah,
he gonna lie, you know, yeah, all right, you gonna have to sleep on the couch when you get home. You know what I mean, like. Like, but you know, it's crazy. I remember years ago, I was watching Scandal and I kind of hated that show, but it was one of them shows I got sucked into. I hated it because they smutted out Olivia Pope. You know, Kerry Washington character got smutted out. She's smashing the president bodyguard, smashing the undercover agent. Like, it just didn't matter. They like literally smutted her out. And I felt like women felt like that was like, powerful thing. Like, she could just sleep with whoever she wanted to without any consequences. And a lot of these people were married in their relationships too. But I digress. And, you know, one of the things, you know, right after that show, I think my wife would watch like Grey's Anatomy and all this stuff. But one of the things that, you know, we talked about this on the show, and I think one of them, when we had Sharice from here, they had the colorism topic. One of the things that they've been pushing is the brown and dark skinned woman with the white man. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. That's your cup of tea. But you never see the black woman with the black man in the forefront of media. I don't know too many, other than Barack and Michelle. And, you know, Andrew Gilliam. Is that how you say his name? The dude that was running for governor?
The blue right? Bandit, bro.
He tried to use that, you know, try to follow Barack thing. But, you know, he ended up being fruity behind closed doors and pill popper and all kind of stuff. I got in the hotel room face down with his booty in the air.
Fetal position.
You know, with the gay prostitute, whatever. but you know, other than Barack, you don't really see too many media people in media. And I put Barack in media just because he was the POTUS. You know, he's going to always be in media. But, and then they use these as figureheads to talk to black women, even though their lives are completely different. You know, this was the qualm I had with the Kamala Harris pick, and the overwhelming support by black women was, it's like, yes, she does resemble you. And she might have went to the school you went to, but does she resonate with what you go through day to day? when y'all go have a powwow, when y'all have y'all girls' night, is her stories about her man going to be like yours? Is her struggles about her man going to be like yours? You know, and it's almost like, you know, they forget, you know, there's a, you know, the black woman that has to date the black man has a, it's a different dynamic because of the troubles that the black woman have to endure with the black man. You know, that's part of why, you know, I think that gets lost in the narrative when people talk about black women being with black men. It's not that you know, black people don't like black men don't like black women to be with white men and vice versa. I think it's just a different type of love, a different type of struggle, because we identify with the same things. And so, you know, looking at this, you know, Amber Ruffin, you know, yeah, you might get that bag and feel real comfortable tap dancing, literally tap dancing. I'm watching the skit.
Literally
tap dancing with a leather bomber on the fro out, too. They ain't straightening hair for this one. They ain't straightening hair. She got a fro. She got her hair picked out. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, come on, man. This is cringeworthy. Like, if it wasn't.
Bro, I even hate the road, but that's coonery, bro. That's straight coonery, right? Yo, like, you don't have to say nothing. Yeah. That's the point. It's not like you're driven to do something. It's not like you have to make a choice between A and B, right? You could literally just be like, nah, I just want to do my show, and I don't want to touch that topic. You know, if you want to go through a medical procedure that you think is beneficial to you, then do it. If not, then not. You know what I'm saying? You could literally made that choice, but when you choose to go to that other side and strongly, and not only that, just straight up try to clown the other side, like you a conspiracy theorist, bro. I could pull up medical journals. I could pull up medical peer-reviewed medical studies. You know what I mean? People hate that word. I could pull up peer review. I got a whole tab. Bro, at this point, I've debated so many people that I have a whole tab of just articles and medical studies. I'm not even going to debate you anymore. I'm just going to post this. Bam. You know what I mean? So when you try to downplay the concerns of the community, like it's not no concerns in terms of this, then you just proving that you in there for the bag. You ain't really in there to try to spread no information, which we know if you get a major show on any of these networks, we know Hulu was the new, almost the new Comcast of the world. Right. So if you get any kind of deal with these people, we already know you kind of come in funny style anyway. To just double down on it like that. I don't understand how you can just sell your soul like that, man. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. Unless they just, you know what? And then also too, some of these people never, or they might've been so far removed from, like, they just always in their moment in time. Right. I'm a very empathetic person. Like, it's hard for me to see a homeless person on the street and not feel for them. It's hard for me to see a dead animal on the street and not feel some kind of remorse. It's just me. So when I see people that are dying and testifying in Congress saying, yo, I'm terminally disabled and I can't do nothing about it, and people are overlooking that, like it's like that's like, oh, well, that's just a one-off. Like, no, like, this is mad people out there suffering from something that, you know, was half thought out. It's like somebody pitched to them, why don't we just use this technology and do this, 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 and this, and this should be all be good. And people are so stupid that now they're normalizing stupid. And everybody else that has some kind of sanity to them now has to feel, almost be pressured to risk their life, and they won't be martyrs. They'll just, if something happened to them when they get that jab, they'll just be another dumb person too. You know what I mean? If something happened. So it's crazy that, like, I mean, we always knew what black person's influence over media is. Now I think now it's just, you know, like that movie Get Out is a powerful movie to me, because it shows the other side of racism, being that, no, we don't hate you. We love you so much that we are going to control everything about you, including your body. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they're kind of doing now. They're literally taking the narrative and controlling it. And unfortunately, this is the sickening part. They're doing it through our women. They're doing it through our women. Our women are the economic backbone in our society, due to partly our men's fault, partly to our fault too. A lot of us don't know how to lead our women, but they're doing it through our women. You know, there's so many initiatives for Black women to separate from Black men. And by doing that, now, you know, Amber Ruffin, they're going to be like, oh, she has her own TV show. You know, oh, look at her life. Oh, she has a white husband. That's why her life is better than my life, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and she's, anything she says must be good because her life is better than mine. And that's the effed up part, I feel, is just how they're doing it, how they're pushing the narrative, who they're pushing it through. And then, you know, going back to the bullying and the alpha, you know, the alpha kind of topic, it makes us, I won't say us, I won't even say me, but it makes those men victims almost. Where do you go? It's almost like you got to be on a run for who you are.
I don't know where men go.
Yeah, it's, I think we have to hit the point where we just don't care no more, yo. That's kind of where I'm at least, you know what I mean? I claim to be alpha or whatever, you know, I just kind of make decisions that make sense to me. But I think we need to hit the point where we're not scared anymore. We need to stop being scared of releasing our opinions and things like that. And let the chips fall where they may. If it's enough of us who know, and honestly, it's more of us than what we think it is, man. That's normal thinking. That's, you know, it's not like we're out here trying to be detrimental. We want to raise families, want to raise our children to be respectful and to be, you know, productive and things like that. It's not like people out here just, oh man, need to control the whole world and control society and things. Nah, you know, it just so happens if you go by, you know, divine masculine, divine feminine laws, men just happen to be a little bit more logical. Women have to be a little bit more emotional when it comes to things. And that's what makes us a good partnership. You feel me? And when it comes to that, we just kind of need to take control. You know what I'm saying? We're blessed with the physical gifts to be a little bit more stronger. So we need to kind of, you know, control the stop the fuckery. You know what I'm saying? put a nip in that. So let's go on to the next joint. This will be a quick one too. Because I know my answer to this joint. So we had Cam Newton recent release. Didn't New England lose today? I think they lost today. But he didn't get the jab. Is that part of the reason he got released, or is he just washed? What you think, bro?
It's both. Because his numbers were virtually identical in preseason as the guy they drafted, or the guy that's on their, you know, the starter now. I think Cam was like, man, I done already had COVID. I ain't getting that. Cam Newton. And he was just on the wrong team. If it was anybody else, he'd still be, you know. But with him not having a good season last year, and with that being Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick is infamous for cutting anybody. It don't matter. If he wasn't Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski, you would get cut.
Yeah.
You know, so I say it's both. I think it's both because right now it's the bottom line. And this is one of those things, right? You know, what is it, 52, 53-man roster? So, you know, for them, personally, if they're buying into the narrative that the jab really protects people from getting it, which we know it don't, because look how many NBA players got it last year on the road. And I'm sure they probably have a strict, you can't tell me Chris Paul is out there partying at this part of his career. You know what I'm saying?
I think they 90-some percent jabbed already in the NBA season. Didn't even started, I think, about 90.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And he got it on the road in the playoffs. You can't tell me that man ain't out partying. Nah. That man is Mr. State Farm. Old veteran, he going straight to his room, probably looking at video, going over plays, talking to the coach, and he got it fully vaccinated. So, you know, I think, you know, some of these players are, you know, especially, you know, New England run like a military. They run a tight ship over there. So they probably like, yo, we requiring all our players to do this. If you do this, you'll no longer be part of New England Patriots. Cam probably said something like, well, I already had COVID. And it was probably the end of his tenure with the New England Patriots. And unfortunately, The reason why he's not picked up in the league because he's just not that good anymore.
I don't think he was that great, accurate of a thrower. Yo, I think his success is based more so on his athleticism. Like, I'll take a Mike Vick, right, as kind of a comparison. Mike Vick had a cannon, bro. Not saying that Cam don't, but I think Mike Vick had a cannon, and he was way more accurate. Yeah, yeah, Cam was, man, even when his MVP season, he was throwing high balls. He just was huge, so it was hard to get him down. Yeah, so he was able to extend plays. Yeah.
It's like he was too tall. Like he was letting them do it. Like some of them pass, like you said, would just be soaring. And it'd be like, or there'd be, it's like he didn't fit his body at quarterback. Unfortunately for Cam, he's just not that fast anymore. And he's always hurt, you know, he's getting older. And the league's changed, you know, unfortunately. And I will say Cam do not get the quarterback clause that like Tom Brady get. But, you know, I digress. And you got to adapt. And like we've seen when Michael Vick went to the Eagles, Michael Vick had a couple monster seasons with the Eagles throwing the ball, you know. You know, Cam probably come out. You know, Cam Newton book at the end of his career probably be good because he probably dealt with a lot more politically than people probably realize. He probably just didn't want to mess his money up.
But you know what he did the interview with was it Robert? He's too big of a figure to be a backup quarterback. It's almost like the cap thing, right? Where it's like, yeah, somebody could sign you, but you too big of a figure to be a backup because at the end of the day, as soon as the starter plays bad, they're going to be calling for you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody
Mello,
knows.
That's the problem with Mello.
Yeah.
Mello's figure, you know, who he was as an icon was too big for him to come off the bench and only play 16 minutes. Even if he came off the bench, he still had to play 26, 27 minutes a game just because people want to see him play. You know, people going to want to see Cam Newton play. I personally don't want to see him play. I think that it's painful to watch the decline of a player. And I know he probably feels he can still play. And he probably is better than some quarterbacks in the league. I just think that the NFL isn't one of those sports that favors heavy declines. When you start to decline in the NFL, it's almost a wrap. It's almost a wrap. It's not like the NBA or MLB. Like, you still got Albert Pujols going out there. You know what I mean? So I would rather see Cam on a high note, even though his years haven't been too well. But before, it's like horrible, you know, where he's looking like, you know, I like to see players go on a high note. In New England, it's a kind of a high note because they were bad. They would be bad with or without him. You know, when Tom Brady and Gronk left, they were bad. So, you know, you could chalk that up on his career. Like, oh, well, they weren't going to win no matter what he did on the field. So,
yeah.
But, yes, he didn't get that jab, and he got cut. And then they covered it up in the media because it came out. I think they said it even on ESPN, and then they never talked about it again. So, to me, that was a big, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, like you said, I think it was a combination. It's like you was fringe already. Like, you would have been iffy if you made a team, but the fact you don't get jabs kind of just like that little feather, you know what I mean? That puts you over balance, bro. You got to go. But not to mention, if you catch the joint, they got so many rules that they got to go through now because you got the joint. Now they got to do contact tracing and all those. They set it up so that if you ain't jabbed, that it's difficult for a team to keep you unless you just a superstar, yo. Like, if you a fringe player, you got to go. So, all right, let me go on to the California ghosting law. I don't know if you read about this joint. I had a little debate. A couple people a day, but basically it boils down to if you slip off the rubber during sexual, you know, activity, you're liable to a civil case. And this is California law, by the way. Thoughts and reactions. You think it's more pandering? I had a little back and forth with some people, and it's crazy too, bro, because it's a civil case, right? And if you know anything, we talked about precedents. We talked about incrementalism early in the podcast. And I made the point to say, like, this is a he say, she say type of case. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is going to just bog down court systems. You already bogged down because of the pandemic. You know what I mean? In terms of civil cases. So now you add NISC. So if you get any kind of chick that's just mad she got knocked up or this dude cheated after the fact or anything like that, she can just bring up this law like, oh, he pulled the rubber off doing sexual intercourse. Now you got to go through the whole legal system to go through that. And it's basically unprovable case. I'm not talking about in terms of morality. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, because I think it's immoral as hell to slip off the rubber. You know what I'm saying? But why the hell are you sleeping with a dude who you think would even pull that joint?
There's multiple folds to this too, though, by the way.
But I'm just to finish my thought. And so I brought this up that I think in terms of just the legality of it, I think it's kind of a waste of time, right? In terms of just being able to bring this lawsuit up and all. And I had somebody come at me like, yo, that's something a rapist would say. I said, what? Like, bro, I'm a dude that got like three daughters and three little sisters. And it's like to come off some, that's something a rapist would say. So like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, why would you even say that off the rip? You know what I mean? And then somebody come at me like, oh, you know, blah, that's it's a rapist because this, that, and third, and blah. And it was a white woman, of course, a white liberal. So I'm like, oh, okay. So do you see all black people as rapists? Do you think all black men are? Do you think all black men? Do you see all black men as rapists? And then block, yeah. It's lovely when that reverse racism works in your favor.
That means yes, I kind of believe that, but I can't express myself, and because you forced me to not express myself.
Oh, life. You got me. that's the problem with wokeism. Is like, what's your thoughts on the ghost law, man? You think it's better?
You hit it right in there. Waste of time, waste of taxpayer money, and it was a complete waste of time. But what made me think about it was like, damn, what if you know? What men need to start doing is some of y'all men that be out here buying these magnums, knowing you're not a magnum,
slip me off.
You better stop sizing correctly. Because if that joint slip off and she don't like what she got from you, she can hit you with a simple suit toe by just slipping off. If you put it on and it don't, you don't come out of that joint, out of that box with that joint on, potentially you can get hit with a suit. And ain't nobody fault but yours, because you threw on that baggy rubber thinking you was the man, thinking it wasn't going to be like a magic trick. And she gets stuck up there, she got to pull it out. She probably going to sue you. And roughly you should get sued for being irresponsible, for trying to be somebody you're not. You know,
dude,
that's
awesome. The first thing
that went through my head was, damn, you know, what if a dude, you know, because you remember back in the day, and this is like, even when we was like 12 years old, dudes was pulling out XL magnums. This at 12, it's like, cut it out. You know, I'm not saying it probably wasn't some dudes probably with the XL joints, but at 12, 13, it's like, cut it out, right? And so with this law, it's like, yo, if I throw that joint on, slide in and slip out, and she see that joint ain't on, I can get hit with a suit. That's crazy. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it, you know what it makes me think about? Them drunken nights when you maybe not roll that joint all the way to the bottom. you try to hit the bottom of that joint and that little roll catch you. Bam, it's over. Yeah. Also, if you new to the game and you put that sucker on backwards.
Yeah.
I tried to.
Get some old joints from like the doctor. And them joints break as soon as you put them joints on, as soon as you slide in. It's like, oh my God. That's crazy. So, yep, now all that's going to happen is, and this is Cali, you about to see the AIDS and HIV rates go through the roof. Because everybody going to be raw dogging out here. Ain't nobody going to take the risk, you know, of getting sued from consensual sex. Ain't nobody going to take that risk. Why would I take that risk? I just take the risk and be like, well, hopefully I get something I can get rid of. The penicillin shot. Yo, you can get your life ruined. You can get a sexual offense for consensual sex, bro.
Yeah. But I mean, it happens every day, yo. I think also this would be included in terms of people with their paternity suits. You know what I'm saying? Like you giving them a no app. If you already got a paternity suit going on, you might as well just throw the ghosting joint on there and be like, I didn't even want to have this baby, but this sucker sipped off the rubber. So throw on another 20 G's. Cause like I said, it's a civil case. You know what I'm saying? So I think when you have make laws, laws should be for the most basic things, bro. It should be like in terms of murder, rape, you know what I mean? Things of that nature that are cut and dry. When you start going into things that are like, I don't know if this person did it, these he say, she say type deals, right? Was like, all right, sucker pulled off the rubber during sexual intercourse. Well, maybe you shouldn't, like I said, maybe you shouldn't sleep with dudes who you think would even try to pull that. You feel me? And also, can you make a case if a chick lies about being on birth control pills? Can you bring a case if she poked holes in the rubber? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can go either way with that.
Yeah, but that won't, because that primarily would be protected, and that won't get talked about. But like, what kind of sex do people be having, right? Like, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I always wanted to turn the lights off. Now I would rather have lights on. Yeah, so I'd be wondering, you know, like, what? It's, I mean, you either just getting beat from the back or you having some real childish intercourse as an adult. You need to maybe explore some maturity in those avenues. If you can't see what the man is doing, yo, I'm gonna just say you getting used, yo. You getting used, so you need to grow up. You know, like there shouldn't be, yo, he took it off and I didn't see. Like, if I was in the jury, I'd be sitting there like, really? I pulled in for jury duty for this bullshit. Like, you know, that's some crazy shit, but that's California. They always have these crazy laws that taxpayers pay for. Nobody questions why these laws, like, is that really such a, like, that would have to be at the top of the priority for them to be putting a law. If all the stuff going on, we talk about homelessness, making people leave California at a crazy rate, and forest fires and all kind of stuff. and this is what is being prioritized with taxpayer money. This is California. It's California. But I know to my dudes, y'all better go get tailored right. Be getting baggy joints and they slip off, you getting in the suit. That joint fall off and she not satisfied, you getting sued. And rightfully so. So be.
At the end of the day, grab your size. All right, so let's get to one of our last topics here. We got the RIP to our Michael K. Williams. We're going to reflect on his career. I know I'm a big Wire fan. And that was one of the dudes, man, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of was one of the main characters, one of the dudes that was kind of a, and even if you speak to people that knew him, because he's from New York, right? I think I want to say Harlem, right? Oh, maybe Brooklyn, one or the other. But I had a couple people talk about how they interacted with the man and how he was, you know, treat him like a brother. He still came to the hood and whatnot. And I think that's another detrimental loss to the community. Even with his roles, no matter how you feel about what roles he played and what the orientation of the roles was, and at the end of the day, he still, you know, he still kind of embodied and still went back to the hood, still gave back from what I heard. You know what I'm saying? So you can't knock that.
What were some of your roles that you, I mean, Omar was always a classic
role. Omar got to be number one, bro. Every time.
Chalky White Man, Boardwalk Empire.
Chalky
was a good one too. I don't think, you know, people might be sleep on Boardwalk Empire, but he was a big part of Boardwalk Empire. During the Prohibition era, his character was a fluent black man who was pretty much supplying everybody alcohol. You know, he was that guy, and he put in some work in there too. And he also was on Lovecraft Country. As the dad to the protagonist.
I didn't like his role so much on that. I think they kind of was overplaying, you know what I mean? The sexual nature of his role rather than focusing on him as the father and whatnot. Like, I think they kind of took the wire roll and kind of rolled it into that, man. I didn't.
They definitely did with the supernatural spin. I think he still acted it well as a very conflicted man. You know, I think that whole narrative was stretched and not necessary, but you know, that's the narrative that's in every show now. But he still as the conflicted father, right? Because he was a gay father. And you know, he acted it like you felt like he just was stuck in the shell of himself, you know, on top of everything else. Like he played that role pretty well. But top role for me, of course, would be Omar. And then it's specifically to see before his demise as Omar when he was walking around the hood. I think he got shot and he still had on his vest and he was trying to, you know, because he was the Black Robin Hood. That's really what he was doing. You know, he didn't really rob and kill random people. He targeted drug dealers, you know, so he was a, you know, Black Robin Hood. And that was it was like sad because he was doing dirt, but, you know, he was also like a good guy in a sense. He had a moral and ethic code on how he moved. And then Chucky White was just smooth. You know, if y'all haven't watched Boardwalk Empire, I would say it might not be a show, but he does a really good job on that. And then there was something else he was on too. I'm trying to think of.
You talking about series or you talking about a movie?
It was a series, I believe. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But yeah, rest in peace to Michael K. Williams. Another premature death. I feel like our community, you know, Black community just getting hit. We don't catch a break when it comes to. Some of the people, you know, you talk about Chadwick Boseman, Kobe Bryant, Nipsey Hussle.
It's crazy, dude. And then them not old dudes. It's not like they 50 million years old. You know what I'm saying? You still got Morgan Freeman kicking the Bobos, man. But by the way, they need to put that dude in plastic wrap, Morgan Freeman and Stevie Wonder. But yeah, man, it's just crazy. It's like back to back to back to back to back like that. It also kind of speaks on being able to check on your people, man, because they want to say it's not the official, but the preliminary, you know, I can't say that word. You know what I'm talking about, is that he died of a drug overdose, which speaks to anybody susceptible to, you know, depression and drug use and things like that. So we kind of need to check on your people, man. No matter if you think they a big time superstar, if you think they somebody's untouchable by depression, untouchable about just in general this world we living in right now, which is just nuts. I think you have a record number of overdoses going on right now. We kind of need to be cognizant of our people and what they going through. At least check up on them. Make a phone call. Phone call don't hurt nobody. And that might have saved this man's life if somebody just made a phone call of what's going on, bro? You good? You know what I'm saying? So we need to be more cognizant of that, I would say. And rest in peace to the brother. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, legendary roles. You know what I'm saying? Didn't get to play out his whole lifetime. And that's just sad in its own. You know what I mean?
I say piggybacking off what you said is kind of crazy because I just finished watching right before we hopped on the record. I was watching the Shop LeBron show and Liz Cambage. Okay, I can't never pronounce her last name, but you know the center for, I forget what team she played for now.
Yeah, Liz Cambage. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, Cambage. I think it's Cambage. But very dominant player, very polarizing figure. Very beautiful. She's gorgeous to me. She's tall, but she's gorgeous. But she was talking about how she was depressed and how she started self-medicating. And she was on suicidal watch. And I mean, this is one of the biggest stars in the WNBA. She did Playboy. You know, she has a lot of notoriety compared to a lot of the other WNBA stars, which, you know, opens up a lot of doors for other opportunities. And she's always smiling. And she's talking about being on suicide watch and it kind of hit home because it's like you don't know what people are going through, you know. So I say, you know, don't. And sometimes, you know, like you said, pick up the phone. And I mean, literally pick up the phone. Like I would say, you know, sometimes a call means more than a text. I know, at least for me, it do. People that text me, you know, I'd rather somebody pick up the phone and have that conversation. because some things can't be captured in text, and by the time you get a reply, it might be too late. So, you know, do your brothers and sisters and mothers, aunts, grandparents, everybody, all your loved ones, do them a service and carve out 5 minutes out of the day just to hit a number. You know, it's not like we got to dial numbers anymore. Just hit the contact and press send and check up on everybody.
I definitely agree with that. Even if you're not a phone person, you can pre-make up an excuse to get off the phone in 5 minutes. Just make sure they're good. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we just need to be better as a community in terms of doing that, man. And checking on our elders and things like that. So yeah, that's all I got for this episode, man. I think we did a hell of a job on a slight notice, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you was busy. I was busy. You know,
man, it's been crazy.
I respected both had daddy duty going on. Man, I didn't think it was pretty good. It's also been time too, because not everybody I talk about, especially when it comes to the jab, feels my sentiment.
Nah, not community. That's why, you know, not to dive back into it, but I refuse to believe the numbers they talk about were. The black community is the least jabbed and stuff. I was just at main event, man. I took the girls yesterday, man. I'm on daddy duty, like you said. Took them to the arcade bowling joint, and you know, the vast majority was black folk in there, and they was, you know, masked and jabbed, baby. Like, yeah. So I don't really believe the numbers and the things they are talking about. I think it's much more just a scapegoat type of deal. So at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, you'd be like, oh, those Negroes didn't get that joint. You know what I mean? Exactly.
And that's what it feels like. It's like, and even if 30% of black people weren't jabbed, we just don't know the number, right? Weren't jabbed. I mean, we talking about, I think maybe if 15%, that would be like the equivalent of 15% of white people, citizens not being jabbed, right? We're not a very, we don't
13% of the population. Yeah. So, yeah,
you know, so like, yeah, there's no way we're majority of the unvaccinated.
It's not, it's in pot. Like I say, bro, if you take a statistics course, you will see what's going up. Like I say, it's number games being played out here. And if you know what you're doing in terms of statistics, you can, I made an example the other day. I said on the other podcast, like I said, if you prove cancer patients, 90% of them drink 2 glasses of water a day. Oh, you know, water is the culprit in terms of cancer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you play with statistics like that to the point where you can make anything seem like anything. And if even let's say the numbers is true and you know, 70% of the black community is unjabbed, though, at 13% of the population, you're talking about 70% of 13%. That's still a very low number. That can't explain what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So
it's not like 13% in one area. That's spread across 50 states.
Yeah. And we all know that black folks congregate in mainly large urban areas. You know what I'm saying? You talk to most black folk, they're not going to move to a little town in Montana. It's not going to happen on a large scale basis. So you're talking about just the major cities. You know what I'm saying? And you can discount that. So I think it's a scapegoat situation, personally.
Yeah.
But in terms of that, I'm going to wrap it up, brother. You got anything to plug or anything like that? Anything you want to say? I know you're working on a couple of things. If you want to, you know, plug your sports joint, I don't know if you want to reveal that yet, but let me know.
No, I'm not going to reveal it yet. Just I got to iron out some things and a couple business things with that. Have a panel, like a full time, you know, I got to see if the other members are fully dedicated. But you know, since it was mentioned, pretty much going to be doing sports pod and sports betting for my sports bettors out there. Primarily basketball, that's my thing. And I'll probably be coming around like over. I got to get a camera. So, you know, bring 4K content. I'm not doing no 720 iPhone footage. And then, you know, in a camera for this, for the harsh reality. So, you know, we can put a name to the face and get more acquainted. Because, you know, I was thinking too when we was talking, when I came out to go visit you, And you know, the first thing people said was, oh, this is El Miguel, you know, but it was like a shocking. You know, it was like it was like a shocking thing, like the Scooby-Doo episode where, you know, wait, the bad guy had the mask on.
I think normally you think of like entertainers, and not saying you're entertainer or whatever, but when normally we think of people that do what we do, you think of like little dudes, man, like 5'6", you know, 180 type of dudes and shit. So when you see motherfuckers come through like 6'2", 250,
hey, homage, you know, you better come correct.
Yeah, you get bodies, you get pile drive.
Yeah, don't take the conscious shit lightly. And you know, I'll say this. You know, I'm a light-skinned brother, but I'm dark-skinned at heart. I'll slam the shit out of you. You're a world star with getting people's elbow to a table, you know. Yeah. But that's just, I'm just playing. I'm just
playing. But yeah, El Miguel certified, bro. I'm tussled with him a little bit, bro. You don't want those problems.
But that is true, though. That is true. Because, like, when he showed up, he was like, God damn, this is a bodyguard? You know? I'm not.
And then, you know, it's funny. Like I said, I ain't no little dude either. So it's like, oh, man, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Then other cats come through, bro. It's kind of an ugly situation.
Yeah, it could be ugly real quick. You know, but you know, hopefully those days are behind us.
We don't condone violence these days, yo. We trying to raise babies and chill out, but you will get smacked up if need be. But
unless it's in self defense, you mess with
one. Yeah, that's like the bottom of our choices right now. I would rather just talk to you. But I appreciate you coming through, man. I know I just, like I said, I just had the daddy duty this weekend. I have yet to eat. So I went from dropping the babies off to another little podcast thing to another podcast thing. Then we still had to wrap our joint up.
In these internet streets.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to plug our joint, bro. I'm trying to get to the point. And you already know we got the mandate, bro. We need that. Hey, hit that Patreon up.
I'm about to go make an OnlyFans. Fuck you talk about. I need some immediate money. So, I'll be over here. But no, I'm just joking. But
We got that wrapped up. And I'm gonna hit you up a little bit later. I'm gonna hit your messages up in terms of talking about things with the KWAZ family. But appreciate you, brother, coming through. And I think that's a good episode, bro. So on behalf of us at the Harsh Reality Podcast, I gotta say, peace.